Hello and welcome to So You Think You Can Fanon. Please check the link tree in the description and see all of our beautiful, lovely, salacious links to listen to more. Thank you. Welcome, 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 welcome back to another episode of So You Think You Can Fanon. Normal-ish episode. Sergio, can I get a confirmation? What's the normalcy level of this episode?
This is a normal episode. We're reading a fanfic we've never read before. Classic fanon.
My god, my normalcy meter is off the charts right now. Are you seeing these readings, Kai?
It's so normal.
It's normal.
Over 9,000.
Which is abnormal for us, because we're not normal people. Wink.
Yeah, we're like the Joker.
We are like the Joker.
All of us. Like that meme I sent you earlier, Kai.
Yes.
Which Joker are you?
We live in a society.
Which Joker are you? Hold on, I'm going to post it in a Fanon server so you can choose a Joker. In Fanon HQ, I mean.
Looking at the monkey one of them?
I choose heroin.
I'm 40-hour work week.
I choose the one... That of him looking at the monkey, which is not.
I don't work 40 hours a work week, so I can't be 40 hour work week. If that said mental illness, I would be that one, frame one, though. Don't you worry.
Oh, me too. I do both.
Because you got Jared Leto's Joker out there, I espoused to my brother and my coworkers a theory that was posited to me by Jake. That the world is gaslighting us into thinking that Jared Leto is a good actor. I don't believe it. I've never seen Dallas Buyers Club. I refuse to believe that he can pull off a good performance.
I've never seen him do anything, ever. I've not even seen him be the Joker.
Did you watch Blade Runner 2049?
Nope.
Did you watch American Psycho?
I haven't seen him in anything.
How the fuck have you not seen Blade Runner 2049?
I haven't seen Blade Runner 2049.
Did you watch American Psycho?
Yes.
He's Paul Allen.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He did a really good job of getting killed and looking like a psychopath.
He did a really good job of being an annoying asshole in that movie, which is generally what he does.
Is that his character?
In real life and in movies.
What was the movie where he was trans? Was that Dallas Buyers Club?
I think that was Dallas Buyers Club.
I heard he was really good in that, but I've never seen it. I mean, sure.
I think it's a gaslight. Until I see it, I'm going to believe that it's just a gaslight, and people are just trying to.
I don't know. Hold on, I'm pulling up his.
Jared Leto is a good actor.
I'm pulling up his filmography, and I'm seeing a lot of things like Suicide Squad and Morbius and the Justice League.
Wait, he was in Morbius?
He was Morbius!
He's Morbius? No!
Morbin time.
He was the narrator of television 2006's Armenian Genocide documentary.
What?
God, I
you know who I think of when I think of the Armenian genocide?
Who?
Jared Leto.
What about Mississippi?
What about Mississippi?
They didn't acknowledge it until like 2018.
I'll be honest, I just straight up forgot a human being played Morbius. I just
Morbius thought he was just CG.
Anyways,
figment of my imagination.
The fact that you've never seen Blade Runner 2049, which is highly regarded by me to be one of the best movies ever made.
I've never seen it either.
That's so fucked. Have you seen the meme of Ryan Gosling with like his face is like like cast in pink?
No.
That also reminds me that since we pulled talk about Jared Leto was in a movie called House of Gucci, which was like when it came out, everyone was like, "This is like the worst movie of all time." And everyone specifically pointed out Jared Leto for being awful.
Check General.
I've never seen that in my life.
Lady Gaga was also terrible in that movie. To be fair, it's a movie about Gucci, the clothing brand, and about the the history of the Gucci family. I don't know. My dogs are pissed off. Look in general, and that you've never seen that picture of a.
I've never seen it before in my life.
Gosling. I've seen it before.
That's from Blade Runner 2049. It's such a good movie.
Actually, no, I've seen the cat version of that, but that's it.
Did I send you the cat version of that?
You sent me the cat version.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Other than that, never seen it.
It's by the same man who did Dune. And also Dune 2 is coming out. I can't wait.
Next time that we get together.
I've never even seen anything except Blade Randy.
I've seen more Blade Randy than I have of Blade Runner.
Yeah, well, same.
Next time that we're all together in a group to watch movies, like last time we did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to watch Blade Runner 2049. Don't even need to watch the original. I don't care.
I want to watch the OG. I've never seen that one.
I mean, it's also like one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know.
What are we doing today?
So, speaking of things that are really good, I found a Resident Evil 4 fanfiction for us to read today.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Let's take a look-see here. Who wants to do the summary of this fanfiction called Delicate? By Scythius.
Golly G Willikers. Cool, I would love a link to the fanfiction.
In the fanon server.
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat.
Well, golly, maybe you should put it in the right channel.
Maybe you should scroll.
I refuse. If they're not where they're supposed to be, I will simply
your asshole inside out.
This is like putting something in the wrong folder at work and then going, I put it in the fucking Crumulon folder instead of the business plans folder. Why didn't you look there?
That's just a work moment.
All right. Well, who's going to read the summary? Eh?
I can read the summary. First, I'll give a brief overview of Resident Evil 4 for Kai, since he's probably not familiar with Resident Evil, unless you've seen the movies.
I've seen the movies.
Fight Club.
Okay, the movies are very not like the game.
Yes, so. I did know that. I've never seen any of the games though.
So Resident Evil 4 is about our everyone's favorite roundhouse kicking himbo, Leon S. Kennedy, going over to Spain to kick Spanish people to save the president's daughter.
You know what the S stands for?
Scott. Simp.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Ha 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 ha.
It's a very cheesy. It's not a zombie game because the cultists aren't like zombies. They're just like they're infected with like a parasite. So like, it was a bit like. They're kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchery, sort of.
By that logic, The Last of Us is in a zombie game.
Well, like, there's like traditional zombies in that game.
No, they're infected by a parasitic mushroom. They're
fungal.
Yeah, but they like they're act like zombies. Boys. Like yes. Ganados don't like no Ganado actually bites you in the game. That's like they true. All attack I you can't with argue weapons. With that.
And they speak Spanish at me, and it scares me.
All right.
It makes me cry.
Okay.
Summary.
Does it remind you of high school?
No, actually, I went to a high school that only had 400 students in it, and 99.3 or something percent of the students were white. I don't think anyone in that high school knew Spanish, including the people who
did they not have Spanish class?
Including the people who weren't in the class. Who were in the class.
Okay.
Dang.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, so read the summary, boy.
All right. So, this fic is called Delicate by Scythius. Summary. Ashley Graham's life has gone through some dramatic changes since Leon rescued her from a cult obsessed with world domination. When she has a chance to see him again after over a decade, she knows that she has to say something. She just isn't quite sure what it is. Leon is the poster boy for the oblivious. After spending the past several years of his life battling all manner of biological horror, he's come to terms with living an empty life. But given the chance to have someone come home to, will he take it? Will he even notice it's being offered?
Oh no. Oh no, Chris Redfield, Leon. No. No, he's banging on my door.
Leon!
Leon!
I need you to fuck my sister, Leon! Leon! I need you to continue the Redfield bloodline, Leon! You got along so well in Raccoon City, Leon! You just need to impregnate her a little bit.
I do notice that Claire is in the characters in this fanfic. Maybe that's what this fanfic will devolve into. Oh,
I had an idea. Sergio, hear me out. Fan fiction idea you and I will write together. It is a post RE4 fan fiction where Ashley comes home with Leon. However, they come home and it's like a 1950s like sitcom with Claire and Leon as like the married couple, and then fucking Sherry is there as like the rebellious teenage daughter, and then Ashley is just like, who the fuck are you people?
It's like they get WandaVisioned.
They get WandaVisioned, or like a 90s sitcom. Like it's like Full House. Sherry listens to like Avril Lavigne and is like, I'm gonna go to the roller rink, mom, fuck you. And then Claire is like, oh, honey, I don't know what to do with you. And then Ashley's just like, bro, I almost died like a week ago. Can we talk about this? All right. I think that'd be funny.
It is quite funny.
And if you think it'd be funny, let us know on twitter.com. Tweet at us. Sorry, I have really bad allergies. Or I'm dying. It could be either.
It could be either at this point.
So I will take Ashley. I think Jake should be Leon.
I'll do my best Leon impression. Are you Ashley Graham?
Matt can be Chris.
Does that mean Ty is Claire?
There's also Barry. I guess I can be Ashley and Claire, and Kai can be Barry.
All right.
Okay.
Who is Barry? So I know.
We'll find out, I guess.
Okay.
Barry Burton is a like gruff cop, like fucking David Harbour in Stranger Things.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Chapter 1. Is it chill that you're in my head? Over the course of the 2 hours and some change that the hearing had lasted, there probably hadn't been time for him to concern himself with surveying the chamber seats to look for her. C-SPAN was set up in their usual area, but CNN, Fox, the BBC, and the national papers were packed around the edges of the room. She needed to get off the floor, but if the media saw her, they would all want full interviews. After all, her father's presidency had laid the groundwork for all of this. A war on terror and the proliferation of biological superweapons. Politically, he had become a pariah after his second term. His own party had blamed him for their loss in the following election. His opponent ran against everything that he stood for.
So Ashley Graham is like George W. Bush's son, daughter, whatever, right?
Are you okay?
Basically.
Matt, I've had a long day.
I know. Ashley Graham wove her way through the rows of seats, both trying to move with urgency, but not so much that it drew attention to her. Even as she plotted a course out of the room and worried about the press, her mind rolled the same thought over in her head on repeat.
He had to have at least considered that I was here.
Her insane brush with death had stayed with her so vividly over the past several years. She still went through bouts of nightmares and heard the monotonous chanting that had echoed through the halls of that dilapidated castle. She hooked back toward the other side of the room when she got to the other side of where MSNBC was doing a little impromptu interview. Better to walk by them as she didn't want to pass to the other side. Too many people from her father's administration were still speckled about the rows of seats. Senator Graham? A pretty blonde woman with a camera-ready smile was flagging her down, and she knew that this was a reporter with CNN, but she couldn't remember her name. Ashley approached her. She had to be polite. The media hadn't figured out what to make of her. At least, that was the impression she got in her interactions with them. Can I get an interview? Ashley was close enough now to read the woman's name tag. Whitney Wilde. She'd remembered that. It sounded like a secret identity of a comic book character.
I'm sorry, Miss Wilde.
Ashley said with her hands clasped in front of her.
Any other time I would, but I need to catch up with one of the men who testified, if you'll excuse me.
She could see the woman opening her mouth for a rebuttal. She didn't even give her time before she jogged out of the chamber doors and into the hallway, though. Luck had been on her side, it seemed. Leon stood with his back against the wall a few meters outside the chamber doors. He was talking with a hulking tank of a man who towered above nearly everyone else in sight. Redfield was his name, she remembered. Leon could probably see her out of his periphery, but he hadn't, judging by the lack of a reaction. She must have been the furthest thing from his mind, someone he only thought of when he saw her on TV. Redfield's eyes snapped to the side, and he met Ashley's gaze. He slapped Leon on the shoulder in a gesture that should have read as playful, but there was some real power behind it, and then pointed to Ashley.
It looks like you got my sister slap.
Looks like you got some more questions to answer, rookie. I'll catch up with you later. Fuck my sister. Leon pushed off the wall and turned just as she stopped next to him. He almost cracked a smile, but his lip didn't hold the expression for long, and his eyes never changed. The odd thing was that he looked much the same as he had back then, though his face was peppered with stubble, and the brown of his hair seemed to have faded a fair bit.
Senator.
He gave her a curt nod.
Is that all you're going to give me, Senator?
Ashley asked, and she wondered if it had sounded too serious.
You would think that if a girl repays you for rescuing her by stabbing you, that you're on a permanent first-name basis.
Right. Sorry.
I heard what you had to say up there.
She said, and her tone leveled out.
These incidents don't just affect the towns they happen in. They follow the survivors home.
It just changes the whole world. We're not living in the world we used to, and this is not the one anyone saw coming.
Yeah.
I was surprised that you didn't get up there to speak. A junior senator, daughter of a president, who switched parties and opened her campaign by talking about the time she was rescued from a Spanish mind control super parasite.
Ashley averted her eyes, her hands clasped in front of her still.
I don't really like to talk about it, but it's a part of me.
After a few moments, she continued.
I don't want you to think that I didn't name you because I wanted to hog all the glory for myself. I didn't really do much. If not for you, I wouldn't be here. I just thought that you wouldn't want your name tied to all my stuff.
It's perfectly fine. I'm sure that all the attention gets to be a bit much.
Ashley shook her head and waved a hand at him nonchalantly.
I'm not the expert. I didn't want to say the wrong thing.
The way I remember it, you got pretty comfortable out there. You even saved my life.
Ashley could feel her cheeks warming and lowered her head to try and avoid his gaze, but Leon put the tips of his thumb, index, and middle fingers beneath her chin and gently raised her head until she was looking at him. She had to fight to keep from gasping. It was the last thing she ever expected a man like him to do.
And you seem right at home in this place,
he continued. Before he spoke the next words, he chuckled a little.
I remember being in an oil change place and hearing a reporter talk about how you told Ted Cruz that you could do things to him and he couldn't bully you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the thought of... which Ted Cruz do you think she talked to? Was it beardless Ted Cruz or post-beard Ted Cruz?
Definitely beardless Ted Cruz, because beardless Ted Cruz is like...
Cuck.
The soy jack meme.
He had a lot of soy energy. Post beard though, he looks a lot better.
I mean, I wouldn't say a lot better.
He looks more like an adult.
I just thought of something. What dumb questions do you think Resident Evil protagonists would get asked at a congressional hearing about the missions that they do?
Why did you have to kill them?
When they bite you?
why did you have to kill them is the most often they would be asked.
Were there any survivors?
Something about gun control too.
So how exactly do you use this herb? Are you telling me that you pull them out of the ground and snort them?
They smoke that shit 100%. You cannot tell me. They put that shit in rolling paper in Resident Evil 2. Leon's fucking lighting up a doobie in the Raccoon City Police Department. He does not give a fuck. He didn't clock in. He did not become a cop.
Damn.
ACAB does not include Leon Scott Kennedy because he never clocked in. He never became a cop.
The thing with the herbs is, because, you know, like either like they're depicted as being the inventory as like being like the full plant, or like it's like powder in like a tube, or it's like on the paper. I can't imagine that once you've ground it off the paper, you just throw that shit in your mouth. That shit probably tastes awful. I just imagine them doing that and then coughing.
You smoke that shit that made Ted talk.
I think they snort it. Matt, be the tiebreaker.
Well, seeing as how you don't burn it, I'm going to say that it's a plant that is naturally similar in texture to an edible.
You're bored.
It just becomes real chewy.
Guy, break the tie.
You smoke it.
Fuck yeah. Dude, you're like, you're taking like the different strands and you're mixing them together and you're smoking that shit. Why do you think you get the defense up if you fucking combine all three herbs in RE2?
Yeah.
Bro, are you kidding me?
Hold on.
He's got like the ultimate body high. You want some? He's got like a government issue, like fucking like bowl that he brings with him on his missions. He's like, hold on, Ashley.
Where's government issue, Brian? Bingo.
You know, I think they call this shit, this strain, fucking like purple haze, man. Hold on. All right, let's shoot these zombies.
All right, let's
what
go.
Are you smoking?
What are you smoking, stranger?
Not enough ganja, stranger.
Dude, what do you think? Why do you think those fucking flames by the merchant are like purple? He's lacing that shit with hella weed.
Maybe.
And why do you think the merchant's so chill all the time? He's constantly inhaling the secondhand smoke from it. He's just like, stranger, it's a good room in here. Why don't you stay a while?
All right, back to it. Ashley replied with only a chuckle. She was nearly 40, and he reduced her to some teenage fangirl with a single touch.
How long are you going to be in town?
That was Ashley.
That was Ashley, Jacob. Well,
why does she have two dialogue lines in a row? This is improperly written. That should be the same paragraph.
Shame on the author.
How long are you going to be in town? Where am I going with this?
She wondered. Leon shrugged, though.
Nothing was set in stone. At least a few more days, for sure.
Would you like to have dinner or lunch or whatever you have time for? I mean...
She asked.
Ashley Graham, what the fuck are you doing?
Sure. But that's not gonna create any trouble for you, is it?
Leon scratched the side of his head just behind the ear. Ashley shrugged her shoulders nonchalantly.
We could always eat at my place in the city.
Inside of her head, she was screaming. It was like something else was just controlling her body, a feeling that she could remember all too well. It wasn't this was a thing she didn't want or that she felt it would be unsafe. Leon had been nothing but a gentleman the entire time that they were together, though that was years ago. It felt like he had someone else in mind when it came to anything romantic. The way that he had regarded that Ada woman had been telling. She had never gotten any kind of backstory on who she was, but all looked very complicated. It was possible that Leon couldn't even explain it himself.
I know it's not in the remake, but I love the scene in RE4 where Ada and Leon are in the boat and she fucking like shoots him and crashes it. And like escapes, like climbing up the mountain, and then Leon just goes, women. Like, come on, man, you got more to say than that. First, I need to ask, is the
honorable lady from Massachusetts going to be making this meal herself?
Oh, do you not believe I can do it?
Leon folded his arms over his chest, which made him look quite a bit larger. He was already towering over Ashley. Well, not to the degree of that Redfield guy, but he was quite a bit taller.
Is Leon taller than Chris?
Is that Redfield? Leon? No, it said Chris was taller than Leon. That's what this is alluding to, because it immediately said that Redfield was huge.
Okay, I was going to say, because, like, especially RE8, I'm going to post RE8 Chris just for Kai's sake.
He's a big boy.
He's fucking huge.
He's a big boy.
He's so big. Like, not as in, like, Jax, because, like, RE5 Leon, or RE5 Chris is the Jax. Look how big he is.
He's a big boy.
He is a very big boy.
Throwback to RE7 when they made Chris British. Look at this. Tell me he doesn't look British in this picture.
He looks so British.
I don't like that.
Funnily enough, he's listed as 6'1".
He looks like one of the slow-mo guys.
He does. He looks like the try guy who cheated on his wife.
Oh my god.
Oh god. He does kind of look like Ned.
All right.
Leon is 5'10".
Here's the Chris face evolution, just in case.
Oh my god. The first one.
Well, it's a PS1 game, to be fair.
I know, but it's just
look at
He looks like he's made of Legos.
On the wiki, it's listed that the 7 face and the 8 face are the same base model. I don't believe
they look
that.
Completely different.
They look so different. Sergio and I were like arguing about this a while back, because I'm like, that's like, it says that, but like, no.
There's no way.
He looks more like the RE5 Chris than the RE7 Chris.
Or RE6. I could see RE6 and RE8.
Because
the proportions are the same. But they are not the same between 7 and 8. At all.
Wait, can I show, before we continue, can I show Kai the Chris Roid arc?
Perhaps.
Alright, so this is what Chris looks like in Resident Evil 1 remake. Because that's like the one that came out before 5, when he got big. Let me find a good shot of him. So this is what he looks like in RE1, right?
Okay.
So RE5 rolls around. It's the first game where you can play as Chris in 4 games, unless you count Code Veronica, which I've never played it. I don't care. I don't count. It's not a main game. And this is what he looks like in RE5.
Oh, damn. He did get roided up.
He's a big boy.
He became the boulder puncher.
He got jacked. He
punches boulders. And they move in that game.
Wow.
That's like a real thing that happens in the game.
I aspire to be like that. I want to punch boulders.
I think that if you said you could cook or couldn't cook, either would surprising. But I admit, I'm kind of interested to find out.
She rolled her arm over to look down at the inside of her wrist. She had this habit of wearing her watch facing toward her body, and checked the time.
Oh my god, is that a Dead Rising reference? Made by the same company. That's how Frank West wears his watch.
I don't want to ruin your plan.
People who wear their watches on the inside are psychopaths.
I did that with my Apple Watch, so I guess I'm a psychopath.
You're a psychopath.
You're a psychopath.
I don't want to ruin your plans for the day, but can we do this for this tomorrow?
That works. Can I get your number?
Leon pulled out an iPhone, though if not for the small window in the back where the logo could show through, Ashley would have never known that. Its case was massive and looked to be some kind of worn rubber with texture to keep it from being too smooth to grip. It looked like it had also seen much, much better days.
Right, so we can iron out the details.
Ashley reached out and took part of his phone that was nearest to her. He handed it off to her without hesitation. It was already unlocked when she looked at it, and the background was of a dog sleeping on a rug on a clean hardwood floor. No girlfriend or wife or half-naked supermodel. The case did have a kind of plastic membrane that covered the screen, too, and when she went to open the messages app, it took a couple of taps for her to get the pressure right so that it registered. She punched her number into the top of the phone and the little recipient blank.
I'll share my location so you know where it is, but I'll text the address, too.
She said before she glanced up at him, before she handed the phone back over.
There.
Leon looked it over.
Hold on, my dogs are barking.
Okay.
Oh, we're good.
Huh. This is the personal, direct line to the Ashley Graham? I guess I should feel lucky.
Leon!
A dark-haired woman with a ponytail jogged up and stopped a few feet short of them and brought her hand to rest on her hip.
My brother is going to leave your ass here if you don't... Oh, sorry, Senator. Oh, it's okay.
He's just in a hurry to get back to that gym. I don't know whose ass he's going to beat without me there.
If you don't hurry, he's going to make me, Jill, or Barry fight him.
The woman said, and Ashley recognized her from the hearing. She'd heard about her before. This was Claire Redfield, one of the few survivors of the Raccoon City incident. She'd met Leon there.
Few. That's a way to describe the Raccoon City incident. A few survivors.
Yes, just a few.
Four?
Four.
Yeah. Is it four, Sergio? Canonically four
people, yes.
That's awesome.
Jeez.
Sorry to cut things short. I've got to go. Don't want Barry to hurt Chris.
Ooh, I lost my spot. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Leon said with a wink. Then he did a second unexpected thing. He clamped a hand down on Ashley's hair, rubbing it and mussing it up before leaning in to hug her.
Oh, okay.
Ashley muttered as she hugged him back.
I'll see you later. Nice getting to kind of meet you, Senator Graham.
Said Claire as she reached out to shake Ashley's hand. And with that, the pair of them were off. They were talking about something, but it was too crowded and loud in the halls for Ashley to hear. Though at one point, Claire socked Leon hard in the arm with her fist. It was clearly in a playful way, but he looked down at her with a kind of forced annoyance and said something back to her.
Did I just make a dinner date with Leon?
Ashley said under her breath. A sweat stench clung to the air inside of the old basement boxing gym. The lights that hung above the ring they were using cut through the dull light of the place, but being under them made it difficult to see anything that was outside of them. Chris Redfield backed out from under one of the lights, and he might as well have been in darkness. He lunged back in, his arm cocked back and ready to fire, but Leon was faster. The attack had come too close, and he was only able to raise his shoulder up just in time and use his arm to cover his face. Chris's punch connected with his shoulder, and even though they were both wearing gloves, getting blasted by a Chris Redfield punch sent a shockwave through Leon's body that seemed to empty out through his feet and vibrate through the floor of the ring. It was like the man was already a bioweapon. Leon often wondered if all that exposure to these different strains of virus had changed the man in some way that was even unforeseen by the eggheads at Umbrella. Even after blocking it, Leon stumbled back. His teeth dug into the mouthguard he wore. A numbness spread throughout his left side, but he knew that he had to move, and move he did. Leon jerked to the side, rotating to miss the second half of the 1-2 combo that Chris had in his chamber. Now that they were in the center of the ring and in the light, Leon could follow Chris's movements. A haymaker, a gap-closing two-step with an attempted uppercut. Leon jerked his head out of reach of another punch. It seemed that Chris had wasted his chance at a boxing career to go into the stars. Leon danced around the ring, backing out of range and looking for his opening. It came in the form of a near miss by Chris that put them right up against each other. Leon pummeled him with a volley of rapid-fire hits to the body. Leon knew it wasn't enough. He would have to do this several more times before he could even hope it would affect Chris, but he never got the chance. As Chris spun around and positioned himself just off to Leon's back right, and a jolt of force slammed into Leon's upper right in his back, just behind the shoulder. It was enough that Leon saw a flash of light, and the next thing he knew, his face was pressed against the floor of the ring.
Come on, Kennedy, you should have known that was a dangerous move, Chris said from behind him.
Then he saw the larger man squat down and reach out to help him up. Leon accepted the help and got back up to his feet.
Thanks. The only real strategy I found for dealing with you is to dance around the ring like a goddamn ballerina.
You're too scared to take a hit.
Oh my gosh, it's finally my moment.
Yes.
You only say that because you've never taken a hit from you.
Barry yelled in his brassy baritone from somewhere in the darkness that shrouded the rest of the gym. Chris just shook his head. Usually not this bad. You're distracted. The floor of the ring shook as someone else climbed up into it.
He's thinking about how pretty the senator he saved is.
Claire said. She was carrying towels and water, and she tossed each of them a pair of towel and water.
Ashley is just, she's just trying to find, oh, sorry, that's not me. That's Leon.
Ashley's just, I think she's trying to find some way to thank me. It's nothing to do with her, though.
He took a swig of the water she'd given him.
But I really don't need thanks. It's like seeing someone go from where she was to where she is now is enough.
Chris had a drink of the water and dumped the rest over his head.
She is cute. Kind of small, though. Say,
this
Leon,
next
you want to go again?
Insane. Say it, Sergio. Say it, Sergio.
Yeah. Hold
on. Say the line,
clearly Bart. Got. Shut up. The senator's clearly got the hots for you. Let her play with your penis a bit.
We need to clip that.
I'm going to go ahead and say no to both of those things.
Leon said as he stripped his gloves off rapidly. This isn't going to be another passion speech where you allude to having any relationship with that Ada woman, is it? I swear, a woman tosses a rocket launcher once and you fucking imprint on her.
Where did you hear the word imprint?
Asked Claire.
Why does she say that like he's like borderline like mentally inefficient? That's a big word for you, Chris.
Maybe she thinks that he's into the Omegaverse.
What?
Maybe she's into the Omegaverse.
I've seen Twilight. I mean, I have a little sister. I do need to know these things.
Oh, you're not putting this on me.
On that note, I need to get out of the ring.
Leon climbed out through the ropes with his towel draped over his back. As he jumped down on the floor, he spotted Jill coming through the door of the gym with a duffel hanging from her shoulder. She had stepped out for a phone call, but had apparently been able to hear some of the conversation even out there. It made sense as the gym was empty, and they'd gotten permission to use the place from the owner, a buddy of Barry's. Jill glanced toward Leon as she neared him.
You really should talk about her about this whole thing. If she spent several days with you over a decade ago, and she's still that all about seeing you, maybe it's worth a shot.
Tips from Jill, the master of frightening men.
Barry chuckled loudly in the darkness again.
Uh-huh, and how many ex-wives are you paying alimony to now? What's the count?
Barry's checks more divided up than Voldemort's soul at this point.
I don't even know what that means.
Jill and Claire just burst into laughter.
Thanks for the advice, guys. Sounds like I need to head back to the room and put some thought in. Start stroking his shit.
Leon toweled off a little more and flung the towel into a large basin meant to collect them up.
Still don't know if I'm ready to date a celebrity senator.
Not sure what the fuck you're talking about. We're all celebrities now. Ba-da-da-da. Ashley stared at her green eyes in the restroom mirror, listening to the muffled sound of gunfire. Many evenings after leaving the hill, she would go to the gym or shooting range in the hopes that the stress would melt away, but it didn't seem to have had an effect this time. The range felt like the better option, not because she was planning to fire her weapon anytime soon in a real situation. She really wanted to find a way to broach the subject with Leon. It was hard for her to imagine his reaction to the news that she had been doing everything in her power to be more prepared self-defense-wise. Shock would be at least a part of it. Back in Spain, there was never even the question of her getting a gun to help out. The only shooting she had done had been under the weight of tremendous mind control. She'd done that pretty well, though. When everything was said and done, there wasn't a way for her to go back to the Ashley that spent her nights drinking carefree with the sorority girls, only to be occasionally caught by TMZ or some paparazzi. It started with her taking self-defense classes, working out a little on the side to make sure she had stamina to actually defend herself. Then she took some judo and later decided to buy herself a firearm and take concealed carry classes. The gun she had finally ended up with back when she had been a smaller 9mm, and over the years she had graduated to the one she had been practicing with today, the Walther WMP-22 Magnum. She'd only purchased it because of the advice of that strange merchant. He was talking to her while Leon was rifling through the wares he had to offer, and she asked him something that, looking back, had been kind of a dumb question. She remembered how the conversation went vividly.
You called that gun merchant. A 45... Okay. You called that gun a 45 Magnum, but I thought a Magnum was just a type of revolver.
Ashley had asked in reference to the AMT hardballer that Leon was sizing up right behind her. The merchant had sucked on his teeth and let out a little chuckle.
I would like to point out... that if it's a 22 Magnum, that's smaller than a 9mm.
I was wondering about that.
If it's 22 long rifle, that would be here. I'll post in general. That would be. It's a
Walther WMP. Yeah, that looks like a pretty small gun.
Well, it's got more kick because the Magnum rounds have more gunpowder in them, don't they?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Still a smaller bullet.
Well, just because a smaller bullet doesn't actually change a whole lot. What matters a lot more than bullet size is barrel length and, of course, gunpowder inside of the bullet and several other things. We'll figure that out later. We'll have a craft team of firearm scientists figure it out. If only Nick was here.
Oh, no. You see, lovely Miss Stranger, the thing that makes a magnum is the amount of propellant.
He had plucked two bullets out from behind his counter and showed them to her.
The magnum round is going to have more energy and speed behind it, and he's going to make that gun kick like a mule on cocaine.
The explanation had stuck with her. When she'd finally grown used to shooting, she heard there had been a new pistol designed for magnum rounds released onto the market. The store had even given her the option to try one out. And it had, indeed, kicked like a mule. But it was a stopping power that she felt confident with and very comfortable using now. That had been a thing she'd heard Leon stressing in his dealings with the merchant. It wasn't about looking tough or having a cool-looking gun. Ashley was completely in it for her self-defense. The sound-dampening earmuffs that she had worn really did a number on her hair, or at least that was her first thought. Then she remembered the way that Leon had rubbed her hair and frizzed it up. It reminded her of the kind of gesture someone would make toward their little sister. Perhaps she'd blocked it from her memory for that reason. When she exited the restroom and made her way out of the building and toward the parking garage, a few members of the staff waved and said their goodbyes to her. It seemed that, at least with this gun crowd, she had a pretty good reputation. Ashley hated to admit that in the world Umbrella had created, she didn't feel safe without at least some small form of protection. It made her ashamed, but that shame didn't cancel out the way she would have felt if she allowed herself to be that kind of victim again. More than anything else, she wanted to prove to Leon that at the very least, he didn't have to fret over her anymore.
So yeah, the merchant's explanation of Magnum ammo is correct. It's the propellant that's in the bullet. Or not in the bullet.
But my question is, does a 22 Magnum round have more propellant than a regular 9mm round? Because it's like, a regular 9mm round is still like twice as wide, basically.
I don't know what the comparing I don't know what
I'm sure people have compared it.
Oh yeah, I'm looking into it right now. So let's see here. The 9mm will have more recoil because it needs a larger cartridge with more capacity to fire the larger bullet. The 22 short will have the least amount of recoil. The 22 long rifle and 22 mag will have hardly any recoil. Let's see here. Accuracy, stopping power. Here we go. Stopping power is an immeasurable term that most firearms enthusiasts use, and speaking of stopping power, we often mean the ability of the round to stop a threat immediately. Bullet selection greatly factors into the debate, but a large bullet will generally have more stopping power. A hollow point bullet will have more stopping power than a full metal jacket of the same caliber. The stopping power of the 22 long rifle doesn't compare to the larger 9mm. The 9mm easily wins the section. Yep.
Well...
and in self-defense, the 9mm is also what this guy chooses over the 22 long rifle. Now... he's not talking about 22 Magnum is the thing here.
I asked Nick, firearms expert. He said 9mm.
Okay. Yep.
Well, she made a bad choice. She was using a 22 Magnum as her personal gun, but in the flashback, she was asking about the 45 Magnum that Leon was going to buy.
Yes, yeah, but her debate about the 22 Magnum versus the 9mm doesn't make sense then. It should be the other way around.
She said she started with a smaller caliber 9mm, but that is not true. That is a larger caliber than the 22 Magnum.
Also, I just want to say, because like in all of the Resident Evil games, handgun ammo is 9mm. Thank God nobody uses any other caliber pistols in
that's not true. The games. What? That's not true.
What?
In Route B in RE2 Remake, you get the 45, and all the ammo you find in the game in that playthrough is 45, and you have to craft the 9mm ammo. Remember?
I forgot about that.
I complained about that to you, you motherfucker. Sergio doesn't listen to what I have to say.
It's been a while. I just
doesn't care.
Well, you mentioned the ammo crafting, and I played Resident Evil 2 like when it came out like 4 years ago. It's been a while.
Well, maybe you should replay it.
I was kind of thinking about that because I'm kind of obsessed with the remake because it's so fun.
Which one?
4 remake?
Well, you just said the remake.
Well, yeah, Resident Evil 4 Remake is an amazing game, and I highly recommend everyone in the audience play it.
Yeah, it is really good.
Yes. I also recommend the original. I think I like the remake a little bit more, but the script in the original is funnier.
It's funny because the original in Japanese isn't funny. It's very serious, and all of the jokes in the 4 script are like added in the English version.
Yeah.
And then when they made the remake, they adjusted the Japanese script to be more like the English script.
There's also there's a bit more character interactions in the original that they cut out of the remake. Which I had forgotten about. Like, they cut out a boss in Resident Evil 4 Remake, and I completely forgot that boss existed, to the point where if I played the remake and somebody didn't complain that they cut it out, I would have had no idea. It's like, yeah, they cut U3 out of the remake, and I'm like, fucking Glup Shitto? Like, I watched footage of that, and I'm like, I played Resident Evil 4, and I have no memory of fighting the U3. But apparently they cut it out.
That's kind of funny, because, like, it's weird that they cut anything out of that game, considering how much people complained about the stuff that was cut out of the RE3 remake.
My thought is that the U3 boss will be in the Separate Ways DLC with Ada, because you can find a note that calls one of Salazar's bodyguards U3. So I'm assuming it's just anything they cut out is probably just going to be put into the Ada DLC.
I sent my right hand to take care of you.
Your right hand comes off.
That's a great line.
All the
so what did everyone think of the fic?
I thought it was quite solid, honestly.
There were a lot of periods that should have been question marks, and that is
yes.
Yes.
That was distracting.
It irks me.
I liked all the characterization. It threw me off seeing that Ashley is 40 in this, but then I remember that Resident Evil 4 takes place in 2004.
Yes, which is fucked up.
Damn.
We're old.
Oh, that's another thing I will say. Hold on. Are you gonna eat? That's another thing I have to give credit to the remakes for, is that they actually kept them in the time period they're supposed to take place in.
Because,
you know, it's really easy to remake the game and just, like, make it, like, oh, it's 2023 in the RE4 timeline. Or, like, remake timeline. Because, like, really, like, the setting of RE2 and RE4 remake, like, doesn't change if it takes place in the modern day. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really change anything that it takes place 20 years ago or 25 years ago for RE2 remake. But it keeps all the like dated technology and stuff that like could have been like, you know, a modern computer, like a modern, like, you know, LED monitor or what have you. But, you know, they went out of their way to make it like period accurate, like,
yeah,
big old, like, whatever you call them, monitors. And like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a good attention to detail.
I think also they weren't trying to disturb the timeline. Like, they were trying to make it so no matter if you played the original or the remake, you could go into the sequel without it. Like, you know, you don't play Resident Evil 4 and all of a sudden it's 2023, and then you play Resident Evil 5 and it's, you know, like 2012 or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I also have to say, this is something that I learned like when I was getting back into Resident Evil for playing Resident Evil 4 remake, is 9/11 has such a profound impact on this franchise. Because Resident Evil's 1 through 3 are pre 9/11, both in timeline and development. But as soon as like 9/11, the War on Terror happened, that like it's all over like the 2010 to like 2015 like Resident Evils about like the War on Terror, because like obviously it's like you're writing a series about bioterrorism and then a war on terror happens and the writers just like went crazy. They were just like, oh yeah, with the advent they just like write that down with the advent of terrorism in 2001, people started getting bioweapons in the Middle East and stuff like that, and like people get inspired by like I just like never noticed it, even though I've been a Resident Evil fan. I was just like, yeah, wow, it was a big inspiration.
Yeah. Certainly.
Mostly because like I don't expect that from a Japanese franchise, obviously. Even though obviously it takes
place. You're a Kamen Rider fan. What do you mean?
Well, like I had to discover the Kamen Rider connection to 9/11. That's not like I had to go to the Japanese Wikipedia page and translate it to learn that fact.
Oh, interesting.
It's pretty advanced.
Yes.
Kamen Rider is not a franchise that's easy to get like behind the scenes information on, especially as a Westerner.
Yeah, they really don't do anything for the West in Kamen Rider.
Because any resource that I could like look at is obviously in Japanese. It wouldn't have to be translated. So if there isn't like a translated interview, or obviously I discovered the trick of going on Japanese Wikipedia and translating it to get some more information, there's basically nothing if it wasn't like put down like on a fan wiki.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I have to say is the Claire penis line. I don't think I can imagine Claire Redfield saying that. Like, I feel like everybody else here is well characterized, but I don't imagine her saying that. Like, it was everybody funny.
I feel like everything about this is a little overly modern, perhaps. All of the dialogue felt a little bit like that, little like a almost Seinfeldish in a way.
Like it felt too sitcom-y? Because I mean, it is like, I'm assuming this takes place in like, but
a little bit sitcom-y, little bit like a just kind of modern with the focus on.
I would never ever complain about there being Seinfeld-y ass dialogue in anything, because Seinfeld is fucking amazing.
Well, I'm not complaining about it necessarily. I'm just saying that this isn't really how I would imagine the characters would wind up conversing and interacting.
If the people who made the dub of Resident Evil 4 original wrote characters now.
Honestly, I think
so. Ashley, do you want me to hit the gritty?
I think more silence. Fan fictions should have the fucking.
What's everybody playing? Fortnite.
They had parasites inside of their body, Chris. Parasites. Yeah, and you fought zombies like 6 years ago. Yeah, but they didn't have parasites.
Yeah, when you blew back in my day, when you blew the zombie's head off, they stayed dead.
Has that ever really been true?
No.
Yeah, in Resident Evil 1 through 3, if you blow the zombie's head off, they're definitely dead. I mean, one, they added the thing where if the head didn't blow off, that they would come back as a Crimson Head, and same thing in RE2 Remake. If the head doesn't blow off, then the zombie can get back up. But yeah,
yeah, but the,
generally,
the way the crit chance works in a RE2 Remake means that it's kind of just like luck.
Damn. All right. Well, I think that's all that we have to say about Resident Evil and this fanfic. This is a decent fanfic. I like that. Good quality.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. This was Delicate by Scythius. You can check it out on Archive of Our Own. It's got two chapters, so there's another chapter that you all can read on your own.
It's going to be in the description of the episode because we need to do that more, and we don't.
We should do that, yeah. The next chapter is Fluff. I looked at it, so if you like that, go check it out.
They also have some other fanfics. They have a My Dress Up Darling fanfic, two of them, a Super Mario Brothers movie fanfic, and a Xenoblade Chronicles 1-3 fanfic. I guess that's just a Xenoblade fanfic.
Neat.
Oh, they actually have a bunch. They have some. They have 7 Persona 5 fanfics, 7 for Sherlock, and 6 for the Fire Emblem series. 61 works total.
Damn.
Sherlock? That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. I haven't heard about that franchise in years.
That's not okay.
Kai, I have a personal question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
What?
Were you a Super Hulot guy?
Oh, no. I was.
Oh, no.
I knew it. I knew it.
How could you tell? How did
because
you know?
Because you read Homestuck.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fair.
Motherfuckers be like,
do you know which one of them I liked the best?
Supernatural
is correct.
I like, you just have that vibe.
I have the demon killing vibe.
No, you really like the brothers and you want to
see them fuck.
I do not want
Russell
that.
T. Davies, you want to see them fuck? Did you know that Russell T. Davies once said in an interview he wants to watch the Supernatural Brothers fuck?
That is terrible.
That's awful.
I've never seen that before, but this makes my life worse.
I saw it on the crazy ass moments in Doctor Who history.
Yeah.
That's speaking awful. Speaking of crazy ass moments in Doctor Who history, did you see that Big Finish is starting to use AI voice actors and as well as AI art on their audio dramas?
Yeah, it looks like shit and it sounds like shit. It's really cool.
Damn.
I don't see why they need to do that.
Imagine being the main producer of Doctor Who Extended Universe content for like 40 years. And then you're like, you know what? We're just going to use AI until they stop hiring us.
It's ridiculous.
They should just get AI to make all of the episodes from now on. They have enough to draw from. They have enough content.
They literally can basically get any Doctor Who actor back for an audio drama. So why use AI in the first place? If you have like this money to like pay Matt Smith to stop doing Game of Thrones for a second to record some audio dramas.
No.
That's also like
Matt Smith is cheaper. You don't have to pay him.
That gives me big Ichiro Oda using Chat GPT to come up with One Piece ideas and then saying they're all dog shit vibe.
Did he do that?
He did, right, Matt?
Sorry about that. What'd you say?
Ichiro Oda using Chat GPT to come up with One Piece ideas and then being like, yeah, these are bad.
That's the first I've heard of it.
I thought you were the one that told me about that.
No, I definitely didn't tell you about that.
You're gaslighting. Somebody's gaslighting.
Okay, apparently he did. Yeah, apparently he did ask about it. This is the first I'm hearing of it, though.
You told me about this.
Uh-oh. No, I didn't. When did this happen?
Gaslighting.
I'm losing my mind. This happened like 2 months ago.
This definitely is not something I told you about. You can scroll up to our DMs.
You read it. It was in a call. We were talking about One Piece.
Uh oh.
Because a chapter dropped and
no
it was crazy.
No evidence.
No, I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. I swear to God this happened. I swear. Do not do this to me. Do not do this to me. I'm telling the truth. You read the entire thing to me. And then at the end, fucking Ichiro Oda is just like, man, that was cool. I'm not going to use them, though. because they're kind of boring ideas compared to what I want to do. And then I was like, that's really funny, Matt.
Yeah, Oda asked it to write the next chapter of One Piece, and it came up with an alien plot line.
This happened. I'm not making this up. It happened.
Oh no!
Stop doing this to me.
I'm gonna have a psychotic break. It might have been a random Reddit post I just read to you. I probably can't remember.
Memory is not the best.
I'm going to have a psychotic break because of
no.
This.
Was there anybody else there to help corroborate it?
No, it was just you and me. Unless Phoenix is there. Ask Phoenix if he remembers.
Are you
this.
Sure it wasn't Stop Phoenix? Are you sure it wasn't Phoenix who said this while I was there?
No, it was you.
Okay. Oh no, don't cry. It's
this
okay.
Is, this, is first, okay. This is the first time
I've okay, Diego, it's this, okay.
So. I'm having a fucking psychotic break because of you.
No, I think Matt just doesn't remember.
I might just not remember. It certainly seems like something that I would read for like 30 seconds and be like, wow, that was stupid, and then never think of it ever again. I don't know.
Ask Phoenix.
I am right now.
It's very possible I did.
No, he doesn't remember!
Oh no.
I didn't read this. I did not read this of my own volition. I know that I did not stumble across this. I know you read this to me. You told me about this. You can't.
Maybe you dreamed about it.
I can't have dreamed about it because it happened. You can't just say that like it isn't a real thing that happened. Right. If you Google Eiichiro Oda ChatGPT, it comes up.
Jacob, you're scaring me. I'm sweating.
All right.
I'm fucking sweating. You're sweating.
Let's calm down.
Matt's sitting here and turning me out.
Calm down. Calm down, child.
Wait, Matt, check your browser history.
Oh, you're right.
I feel like the scene in Metal Gear Solid 1 where Otacon pees himself, and then Snake is just like, why are you making the Metal Gear launch nukes? And then Otacon's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm both of those characters right now.
Damn.
You to you.
Let's see. ChatGPT. Let me just look up ChatGPT.
So many things are going to pop up.
So we have a problem. So we have a problem here. I'm not seeing anything about ChatGPT and One Piece in this
One Piece
list. Search
AI.
One Piece.
Well, it's not a very long list, is the problem.
Check one. Search One Piece, go to March.
Or search AI.
One Piece in March. Oh my god. There's so many things from March.
You are such a fucking Redditor. And now you're gaslighting me.
ChatGPT in March. Let's see here.
What about Eiichiro Oda ChatGPT instead of One Piece ChatGPT?
Here, Eiichiro Oda, and let me just look up Eiichiro Oda. Nope, I'm not getting anything.
I'm getting gaslit.
The only hits are from the last 5 minutes.
I can't do this.
Maybe it auto deleted.
Maybe it was on your phone. It was on your phone. Maybe, I don't know.
It could have been.
That might have been on my phone. That feels like something I've gotten from my phone.
Some other browser on your phone, because then it wouldn't sync.
It wouldn't be in my history. I'll just say that I probably did it and I just forgot.
It's real.
I'm believe you.
Bullied.
I believe you. I'm believing you over my own memory.
I think this is so fucked up. I can't believe Matt just sat here and gaslit me for like fucking 10 minutes.
I had
a crisis of faith. I had a crisis of faith because of you.
I think I was the one gaslighting, to be honest.
It is what it is.
I think you dreamed it.
I don't think you dreamed it.
You can't just say that. Because the only reason I know that that happened in general is because Matt told me.
I think you dreamed that Matt told you.
Well, here, while we're on the topic, what the fuck did the AI tell him to do? I don't even know.
Sergio said it.
Okay, so it says here. So the AI obliged, detailing a story about the King of Shadows who kidnaps Chopper. In order to defeat him, Robin connects with the Shadow Tribe from her past. With the help of newfound allies, the Straw Hat crew defeats the King of Shadows. This is the story that it came up with.
Okay, I definitely don't remember that.
And then, because the AI asks Oda, do you like this? And he goes, that's boring. Could you present a more interesting idea? There's a ChatGPT then launched into a story where an alien secretly lives among the captain crew. The alien's home planet was destroyed by an evil spaceship, and they board the One Piece ship to pursue the enemy. The captain and crew help the alien in their pursuit. In their journey, they stop at an island where an evil witch lives, which plans to steal the alien star fragment, which is necessary to restore the alien's home planet. The captain and crew then team up with the alien to defeat the witch, then restore the alien's planet. This time, Oda seemed to like the story. Thank you, he replied. I will write it exactly like that.
and I know because this might be in the history, but it's an image that so you can't search it. Ichiro Oda put a prompt in the AI to draw Rob Lucci. It drew Lucci as a cute anime girl. So he drew an illustration of Luffy reacting to the cute anime girl.
I don't remember that fucking at all. I don't remember that in the slightest.
Uh-oh.
You're
losing your mind, Jacob.
I would have remembered that. So if you saw that,
there's a video of it. Here's a video of it. Here's a video of him doing it.
Oh my god. No, this is definitely something I would remember.
This happened. I didn't know the video existed, to be fair. I just found the video.
Okay, so the video and this whole series of events with Rob Lucci, never heard of it before. Adamantly, I have never heard of that before.
Stop doing this to me.
I'm telling you the only thing I can tell you, which is what I think the truth is.
I think he doesn't remember.
I think he just doesn't remember, or he's trying to drive me into a mental asylum.
I would tell you if I remembered. That's trying to get me institutionalized. Oh my god.
I'm gonna have a psychotic break because of this.
Oh my god. It's okay. It's in the deep.
Okay, let's end the episode.
End the episode before I fucking start crying.
Kai, do we love them? I'm not sure.
No!
They're gaslighting us.
With the last 10 minutes, I don't have the capacity to love.
Don't know.